Okay, so tomorrow is Shavuos Betamuz, so we're going to have the shiur a day early today. Lemaisa, I already started feeling sad last night because a little bit before I left Night Seder, so Zevi came over and said, he's suddenly having to fly home. Family should have a nechama. But it just sort of kicks in that it's like going to be Shavuos Betamuz and that the Zman is almost over. Other than that, Baruch Hashem has been a good week. I ended off with major sugya in Makis, which very, very hard sugya, and I love very, very hard sugyas. Anybody who doesn't give up, you'll for sure have enough to keep you busy till the end of the Zman. It's just a matter of just staying on the horse. But it's interesting. Years ago, I went to a voice teacher. First started saying shir. At that time, I was a chazan for Yom Noroim also, and I had problems with my voice. I went to a voice teacher, and he made a very interesting insight. He said to me, I can tell by the way that you use your voice that you're the type of a person who loves a hard taisvis much more than you love an easy taisvis. I said, that's spot on. I'm like, how did you know that? He goes, okay, you know, whatever, tricks of the trade. But Lemaisa, this sugya is spot on with that. And I want to talk about that a little bit, about hard sugyas and hard challenges in life. But to put together with that, so I just want to add in one question that we talked about over Shabbos, but I still have another point that I would like to add, and it ties into this also. The question was, what's the Rosh Yeshiva's shir like? And how can I prepare myself properly? What should I be doing next year to take advantage of perhaps my last year in yeshiva? Okay, fine. But what's the Rosh Yeshiva's shir like, and how can I prepare myself properly? I believe that I said over Shabbos, no point. No matter what you do, you're not going to be prepared properly. It's being thrown into the deep end. And then I gave some answers as to, you know, how to make the best of the opportunity. Okay, two points I would just like to add to that is that number one is Bava Kamma next year. It's Bava Kamma, and Bava Kamma is most probably the best year to go into the Rosh Yeshiva Shir. Why? Because at least in my experience, Bava Kamma is the Masechta, particularly the first part of Bava Kamma, not the second part of Bava Kamma, that you really feel that he has a total mastery of everything, all of the details, and it all fits together like a system, and therefore it makes things much more manageable and doable. So that I just wanted to say as a consolation. I realized over Shabbos that I should mention that I forgot that we're learning Bava Kamma. But the second thing is, and this is what's going to have to do with the Shmooze today, and taking on challenges, is that I remember the Rosh Yeshiva saying many times to us, I don't know whether he still says it today, but I'll do it for him, is that any time you're in a shir which you find like you get everything, then that means that your shir is too easy. If you feel like you're grasping everything, okay, I get the shir every day, that means that the shir is too easy. This is because that's not how we learn. You know, you put a kid in pre-1A, kindergarten, you know, he's learning how to read, Aleph Beis or whatever, by the time he gets to the end of the year. So Lemaisa, he's almost there. He's about 80% there, but he still is not quite there. What do you do? The first part of first grade, you say, okay, we're going to brush up. Let's go over again and all the things that you didn't chop over this, that you, all the things you forgot over the summer, so we'll do Chazara, and then, no, right away, you chuck him into Chumash. What happened to his reading? He can't read yet. That doesn't matter. Through learning the Chumash, so he's going to end up finishing up his reading, and then Vahala, 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 Vahala. We never get to the stage where we master anything, but by heightening the bar and picking up the bar higher and higher and higher, so you're stretching yourself to your limits and beyond. And your new limit becomes somewhere in between where you really are and where you would like to be, and that's life. And if you don't do that, if you don't keep on going up with heavier weights and higher bars and more difficult levels of learning, so then you stop to grow. You plateau, and that's not what you want to do. And Lemaisa, that's the topic that I would like to talk about in terms of the 3 weeks, Shavuos Betamuz, Parshas Pinchas, And also as a hakdama to, you know, going on to next year and doing hard sugyas. So we'll talk about that for a little bit today. All right, Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas is famous for the beginning of it. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Heshivas Hamasim Yal Bnei Yisrael. He was the one that made HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, calm down. Bekanoyes Kinasi B'Seicham. He was a Kanoi. And Lamana Emes, he went and he destroyed Zimri ben Salu. Rashiva pointed out that many times it's the most violent person, like in the Hafganot in Israel, maybe, you know, whatever it is, that ends up bringing peace. Yeah? You don't be a pacifist all the time. You have to fight Lamana Emes, and that's Pinchas. Then we go on, Sararis and Midyanim, Vikisem Aysam. The Midyanim, all of the Midyanim are the bad guys, and you wipe them out, destroy them. After that, we have a lot of different halachas having to do with kashrus and blias and pots, and all the way at the end of the parsha is the most famous part of the parsha, and that is we have the whole section on the mayadim, on the different karbonis for the mayadim, and that's at the end of Pinchas. That's what everybody recognizes Pinchas for. Now, it's in that part of the parsha that you have a fascinating Yalkut Shemayni, which gets us into the 3 weeks, because you see what the 3 weeks were really supposed to be. Zag the Yalkut Shemayni, Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, B'chol chaydesh v'chaydesh shebekayetz, bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu litein l'Yisrael mayed. In reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the entire summer season, starting from Nisan and going all the way to Tishrei, which if you think about it, all of the Shal Shugolim, they really are in the summer. You start off with the spring, and then you get in Shavuos, and then finally, you know, you get Tishrei, which is before the winter begins, yeah? So it's all in the summer, because the summer is like the festival time. It's where everybody is outside. It's like you're not doing your work. It's the time of Giloy. It's the time when everything is prosperous, and that's when you're supposed to have the Chagim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, and this was the original plan, that we're going to have a Chag every single month during the summer. We botched it up. Now, how is it going to be? Nisa, Naslan, Pesach. All right, that's the same. Iyar, Naslan, Lehem, Pesach, Katan, Pesach, Sheni. We still have that. Sivan, Naslan, Lehem, Atzeres. So up until Sivan, it's all good. But here's where it went awry. Betamuz, Shivasar Betamuz, which is when Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Luchais, we're supposed to get a very big Yom Tif then. The Asua Egel. But we botched it up because he made the Egel Ubatal Tammuz, the Av, the El. Now Av, you know, we're supposed to have a Yom Tif also. And El, we're supposed to have an El also. Those three, which were supposed to be in Tammuz, and Av, and Elul, they ended up all being in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. I'm going to give Tishrei the three other ones, but the one that was supposed to be in Tishrei, I'm going to leave in Tishrei. Shmini Atzeres was supposed to be in Tishrei, and it gets left in Tishrei. So let's figure it out. The first three are the same. Pesach, Pesach Sheni, Atzeres. Then after that, we were supposed to have Tammuz, Av, and Elul. Those three get pushed. Now, if you figure it out, what was supposed to be in Tammuz? Rosh Hashanah. What was supposed to be in Av, on Tisha B'Av? Yom Kippur, and in Elul was supposed to be Sukkot. Rosh Chodesh Elul supposed to be Sukkot, a lot more fun than, you know, what we have in Elul, yeah, but a different type of Elul. And then if you count it out, 49 days later, do it for yourself, 49 days later, it ends up being what day? Shmini Atzeres, just like it's supposed to be. Exactly it's supposed to be. The 49-day gap that we have by Pesach, that's the way it's supposed to be. Now that's fascinating. Very fascinating. So Lemaisa, it's interesting. Okay, so Sukkot got pushed up a little bit. Shmini Atzeres is the same. The two that there's the major distortion over here is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah was supposed to be on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and Yom Kippur was supposed to be on Tisha B'Av. That's crazy. What does Rosh Hashanah have to do with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? And what does Yom Kippur have to do with Tisha B'Av? Okay, we fast on both of them today, right? But that's obviously not what's going on. It was supposed to be a Yontif. So what's this Yontif that was supposed to be on Tisha B'Av that's supposed to be Yom Kippur? And what is the, what's it called, Rosh Hashanah that's supposed to be on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? That's the first question that we have to answer over here. That's point number one. Point number two is, when we talk about the period between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, so the Pasuk says in Eicha, that our enemies, got us between the straits. But Beina Mitzarim means between the Gedarim, between the fences. What are those two fences? Chazal Darshan, Beina Mitzarim are Shiva Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. That's very interesting. How many tinyus are there? All correlate to Beis HaMikdash, there are four. So how come these two are considered to be the two Gedarim? Why are these two specifically the ones that you have a Geder of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and a Geder of Tisha B'Av? Fine, you say they're close together, but it didn't have to be that way. It could be between Sim Gedalia and Asar B'Tavis, would be Beina Mitzarim. What's the idea of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? Why is that so important? That this is the aside of Churban over here, and this is what we have to do tshuva for and bring ourselves back from. So what's this concept of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? How do they all fit together? And finally, one last question. There's a fascinating medrash also in by the Chet HaEgel. By the Chet HaEgel, which, happened tomorrow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, says in Medrash Rabbah, he brings a whole mushel to it. But the bottom line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shnei Kaisais Mizagtem B'Sinai. You poured for yourself two Kaisais, two goblets of wine. Other Midrashim is two Kesarim, two crowns we got at Har Sinai. Naseh B'Nishma. We got a crown for Naseh. Why? Because we are Maktim Naseh L'Nishma. Because normally, what do? Hey, well, listen, what does it say in the Torah? And then afterwards, okay, fine. Then afterwards, let's do it. Yeah? First is the Nishma, and then afterwards the Naseh. But you didn't do that. You said, we're doing it no matter what. Naseh, the Nishma, and then we'll hear afterwards. So because of that, you get a Keser, or you get a Kais for Naseh. But then you get a second also. You get one for Nishma. Shibartem Nase, now that you broke the one from Nase with the Chet HaEgel, Asisem Lefana Egel, Hizaru B'Nishma. You still better be careful with Nishma. Now, Beis Levi already asked the question that why did they get a crown for Nishma anyway? I mean, Nishma, they're going to, what's it called? They're going to listen to what it says in the Torah. So why do you get a second crown for Nishma? That's normal. Because you're Maktim Nasa L'Nishma, you get two crowns. You should get one crown for the Nasa. The Nishma, you're listening anyway. Why do you get two crowns? Because you're Maktim Nasa L'Nishma. But what comes out clearly from that is that when you're Maktim Nasa L'Nishma, when you say that I'm going to do it, and then I'll hear whatever it is, your nishma becomes a higher quality nishma. It's a different type of a nishma. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says over here, make sure that you don't lose that nishma. Why? Because even though you lost the nasa because of the Chet HaEgel, you still can make it with the nishma. What's going on over here? What's the nasa? What's the nishma? How can the nishma save you from not having the nasa? And put together with all of the things we've been talking about, how is it just give us a way to look at the hard challenges and looking forward to things which are, a bit of a, a bit beyond, above and beyond us, but somehow we know that they're going to make us grow. L'maisa, I told him Mishulam finished his last Sheva Brachas today. He's in a very good mood. He's on a much higher madriga than I am, because when I finished Sheva Brachas, I was like, oh, Baruch Hashem, finished, you know, whatever, get back to regular life. And he was like, oh, I could keep on doing this for a simcha. He's like, whatever, I told you, I'm the spoil. But I told him, I have a simcha today also. You know what my simcha is? My simcha is that last night at midnight, when the clock struck 12 and, you know, we became pumpkins, so we had to hand in all of the pictures from my son Shlomo's chasna, because otherwise we would have been over the deadline, and Baruch Hashem, we don't have to pick pictures anymore. That's my simcha. It's a very interesting thing. See, it's a study in contrast. My wife loves picking out the pictures. But she doesn't like making the decisions because maybe it should be this one, and she can, you know, torture herself with it. Okay, but so that's what you need me for. I'm the guy who's like, okay, I'm not afraid to make decisions. Listen, you know, throw down the gauntlet. This is the way that it's going to be. But my problem is I can't stand looking at these pictures. Like, what an incredible waste of time. Like, who cares, you know? All right, it's epic, a little fun, you know, to look back at my chasna pictures. First of all, you realize that like 40 years ago, for some reason, like before the extra large generation, people were like two-thirds of the size that they are today. That's like, it's true. It's like, oh my gosh, like what happened to us? It's like crazy. You also realize, like, what's it called? You also realize that, like, you know, whatever, all the funny styles and everything, and the, you know, whatever. This guy had a super red beard, and this guy had a super black beard, and now they all look like Zakanim and everything, you know. But I don't know. I have a different, deeper reason, though, why I don't like looking at the pictures. To me, the whole idea of pictures and video and everything, it just feels very, very superficial and fake. Like, what is there? I remember when I was a kid in Yeshiva Spring Valley in Muncie. So I think it was the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, but there was some Rebbe who was coming to the Yeshiva and he was going to talk to us. And they warned us, don't take pictures. Don't take pictures, because if you take pictures, his gabbai is going to come, take your camera, and he's going to smash it on the floor in front of you. Why? Very, very good reason. It's a tzelem. It's an avodah zara. What does that mean? It's a kepashtusa avodah zara. But what it really means is, what are you taking a picture of? That's a human being. That's what the human being is. If it's a really good picture, you can sometimes see, you know, epis, a gleam or some kedusha in somebody's eyes. Even a video, which is streaming and it's moving, but you're not capturing the person. The person is so much more than his flesh. He's so much more than his hair. He's so much more than his suit. Imagine I told you, you know, before a chasna, we're going to take everybody's suits and we're going to put it on a, you know, on a dummy, on a mannequin. And I'm going to take pictures of all the suits. We'll make it move around a little bit so we can take a video. You say, you're off of your mind. What are you talking about? That's not the person. It's not the person either. It's not the person. The person is a neshama. The person is constantly moving. The person is a mahalich. The person is constantly moving, like we talked about last week. You don't get that on film. But we sometimes act our lives the opposite. We think that, you know, it's much more comfortable if things stay the way that they are. We don't want things to change so much. When it does change, so it makes us all nervous and uncomfortable. If it's a big change, then that really gets us stressed out. But we all know from our past experiences that we grow the most when things do change. And they change even in a way that puts a little bit of pressure, takes us out of our comfort zone. And Lemaisa, that is really the idea of the nishma that comes after the nasa. And the nishma that comes after the nasa, we'll see in a second, that correlates not to Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, but that correlates to the second crown that belongs to Tisha B'Av. Rav Moshe Shapiro has a gorgeous mahalach explaining why it is that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is Rosh Hashanah and Tisha B'Av is Yom Kippur. What's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Zayom Tchilas Masecha Zikaron LeYom Rishon. It's the day that the human being was created, right? That's Rosh Hashanah. We all know that. But what type of human being? Adam Rishon, Kodem Achet, the ultimate human being. If he didn't do anything wrong, so then what would have happened? Straight to Olam Haba, straight to stay in Gan Eden. But he botched it up, and we took a long time to get back to where we're supposed to be. And what was the day that it was supposed to happen? That we're going to completely come back to the level of Adam Rishon, Kodem Achet? When we received the Torah, when we received the Luchas Rishonos, and then the whole process was going to be complete. So Zeh Hayom Tchilas Masecha, recreating or getting the human being back to that original level that was supposed to be on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. That's what was supposed to happen. The destruction was the Cheta Egel, and we lost that Madrega again. However, and this is the Chiddush Atzum, it wasn't over yet. We still had a chance. Why? Because if we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael properly, without the Chet HaMeraglim, still would have done it for us. Why? The Torah says, Beferish, that if Moshe Rabbeinu, that if there was no Chet HaMeraglim, and the people in the Midbar wouldn't have all died before they went into Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael straight too with everybody else. There was no room for Moshe Yisrael to die unless everybody else had to die in the Midbar. That's a beferish in the Pesukim. The Gemara says that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, that would have been the Geula Shleima. So we would have reclaimed that level, even though we didn't get it with the Luchas Rishonos, even though the Luchas Rishonos are finished, but we go into Eretz Yisrael, so then that would have brought us to that level as well. That's what we mean when we say, Kol Rebfeh, Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim. The Mitzarim are these two Gedarim, these two chances that we had, in order to reclaim that level. Number one, when we're getting the Luchas Rishonos, and number two, when we're supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's why Tisha B'Av actually, yeah, was what? Was Yom Kippur. Because even though we botched things up with the Egel, but we could have gotten Kapara for that, and we could have brought ourselves back to that original level when we went into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. But still, how does that work? How does that work? Lemaiso, we don't have the Luchas Rishonos anymore. How come just because when we go into Eretz Yisrael, so we're going to reclaim that level? How does that work? It sounds like very Zionistic, you know, whatever. You lose the Torah, but you come into Eretz Yisrael, okay, boom, everything is back again, you know? Morty is in Morty's sugya. But obviously, that's not what it is. I mean, the Torah is the come all and end all of Yiddishkeit. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael because of the Torah. The Torah is not the Torah because of Eretz Yisrael. So how does it all work? And the answer is that you have to understand what the two crowns are. There's one crown of the way that we were makabel Torah in the beginning, and that's Naseh. We were mekabel the Torah in a way that we said Nasa v'nishma, and that was original crown, and that we lost at the Cheta Egel. But then there's a second crown. The second crown was that when you accept the Torah in a way that says, no matter what you tell me, whether I'm holding by it or not, whether I understand it or not, whether it's in my comfort zone or not, I'm going to do it, then when you hear it afterwards, it's an altogether different type of a shmiya. You understand things that you would have never understood without the commitment to say, I'm doing it and I'm going to understand it no matter what. And that's what the Medrash says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, you botched up you with the Chet HaEgel. And therefore the first crown is gone. But if you appreciate Eretz Yisrael, if you listen and you see what Eretz Yisrael really is al pi Torah, if you maintain that madrega of trying to see beyond, like what the Meraglim did, what did they see? A bunch of giants, a bunch of levayas, very superficial in their comfort zone. If you still maintain that you're going to try to see beyond where you're holding, so then you'll be able to get that madrega back. See beyond where you are. Say, it's not good enough where I am. I have to aspire to something higher. Yes, it's going to be difficult. But if you aspire to something that you're not holding by, so you get a lot further, and Be'ezus Hashem, you'll also get, and you'll begin to understand, eventually totally understand, that next level. Those are the two crowns. There's the Nasa. There's the first level of Kabbalah Satira that we lost, and then there was the Tisha B'Av that we could have still gotten back if we went into Eretz Yisrael and we try to see what Eretz Yisrael is really all about. The Meraglim ruined that for us. They gave us a report that was like the New York Times, and we learned the sugya of Eretz Yisrael like the New York Times, and we didn't think about it beyond that. We didn't say, hey, come on, you know, whatever. We're Naseh people. We don't see things in a superficial way. We see things in a way which is beyond ourselves. We didn't do that, and therefore we lost the second crown too. And that's why the Bein HaMetzarim are these two things which basically concretized our level until Mashiach comes, until the Geula Shalema, that we're sitting where we are today. But had we taken advantage of Nasa v'Nishma, of the whole experience of the Luchas Rishonis, or of coming into Eretz Yisrael properly, so then we would have been able to reclaim that madriga. Coming back to where we are, so we have one more week. As I said in the beginning, it's one more week with a very, very hard sugya. And, you know, whatever. It's such a sugya is very hard even in the middle of the Zman. Say maybe it's even harder, you know, at the end of this month. But on the other hand, I think that there's something nice to that too, because of the fact that, like, okay, fine, you end up this month with like a major challenge. And unless you give up, so it's going to pull you to very, very high places. And the Lamaisa, that's ultimately what we're here for. And then coming back also to the question which we talked about, is how do I look towards next year? So, you know, first-year guy is not a second-year guy, a second-year guy not a third-year guy, but you have to realize that every time you go up another madriga, what it's exactly supposed to do is pull you out of your comfort zone. We have two ways of looking at that. It's not my comfort zone, and therefore it's not comfortable, and therefore, okay, fine, let's go get a beer, you know, whatever. And you never grow that way. But if you have the attitude in life constantly of Naseh v'Nishma, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Just get in there and do it. Like the Nike commercial. Just do it. And then if you have that attitude, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you opportunities, I'll talk and make you roi to do it. Right now you don't understand, but you're trying to understand, and you get closer and closer and closer and closer. But that's how we grow. That's how we grow in the weight room. That's how we grow in the high jump. That's how we grow in a sprint. And Maisa, for Havdil, it's how we grow in our learning, in our Havanas HaTorah, and also in our Avodas Hashem as well. So we should all have a meaningful fast tomorrow and a meaningful Bein HaMetzarim. And hopefully by the time Tisha B'Av comes this year, maybe even before that, so we'll get the message. Get the message to stop being satisfied with where we are. And saying, Naseh, that we're going to do it. We're just going to do it. And our HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the opportunity to do that which we thought was absolutely impossible. have a meaningful Shiva Tammuz, and then after that, have a good Shabbos.